Brother Jack, you come on up here, and I messed up on the time there for you, brother. I do apologize, but you come and share your burden in your heart, brother. I appreciate
Thank you
very much.
Thank you so much, Pastor, and I appreciate the theme of your conference, Seed Time to Harvest Time, based upon the Word of God found in the book of Genesis. We'll look at that in just a moment. But well, do you remember one time the Lord Jesus Christ said, the seed is the Word of God. And I want you to know that you never go wrong in proclaiming the Word of God. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's what men need, is the Word of God. I want my wife, because she's been very effective with pastors' wives. We just came from a meeting where men and women walk 3 days in order to catch a train and ride a train 2 days to come to leadership training programs. And we've seen so many things. And she teaches the ladies as I teach the men. And I want her to tell you something about the power in the Word of God.
Well, first I'd like to thank you. It's an honor and a joy to be here. Louisiana is my home state. I was raised and grew up in Winfield. And, Pastor, you're saying you're having a problem with your memory. I can tell you there's two words. If you learn to say them, it would help your memory so much. Go Tigers. Last year in August, we were in Cambodia, and this is a Cambodian outfit. Every night I will wear something from a different place that we've been. But last year when we were in Cambodia, we were at an orphanage that my husband's church in Georgia actually built. Out of that orphanage, there are 8 young men who are now either pastors or missionaries. There is one young man, though, that he thought that the Lord wasn't calling him to be a pastor, but to be a math teacher. And he has excelled in math to the point that even though he only had his bachelor's and he was working on his master's, the country of Cambodia actually promoted him to be in charge of an entire province. And he asked us to come over and to have the first ever evangelistic teachers' meeting.
Amen.
Something we couldn't do here. Well, we went over, and I was to speak the first night. The first night was to the, well, we both were supposed to, but there was a mix-up in the time. But I ended up speaking the first night to the teacher interns. And what I spoke on was that God is a great mathematician. He is the one who created math. That God created one, and then there was added one. Then he told them to multiply. Sin came into the world, and they're called subtraction and then division. And then went on with different math terms. And then went on with the creation and proving that God existed and that there was Christ. And then I told them that there would be 3 mathematicians that they would have studied and they would have known about, that being Pascal, Isaac, Newton, Pascal, and Galileo. And Pascal had something called Pascal's wager. The wager is a choice. If God exists and you believe in God, you win. If God doesn't exist and you don't believe in God, you still win. But if God exists and you don't believe in God, you lose.
That's right.
And it is your choice. So after when I was done, one of the young pastors took over and he began speaking. And he then led them in the sinner's prayer, and I realized everyone behind me was repeating that prayer.
Amen.
The next day, they asked me to repeat that. He will tell you he's jealous. He never gets asked to repeat the same sermon. I repeated it. By the time we were done, 120 math teachers had accepted Christ.
Amen.
Every one of them. While we were there, we decided, before we came there, we bought 125 Bibles to be able to give these teachers. We did this as a tribute to his sister who had passed away while we were over there. And she had for many years worked with Gideon's. So we gave the Holy Bible, the Word of God, the seed, to these teachers. And the second day, they were asking them, they had to tell them to turn to a page. They didn't know the New Testament, Old Testament. That was not something they had never held a Bible. And I sat in the back of the room and I watched as they not only held the Bible for the first time, that they opened it up and they read out loud a chapter.
Amen.
If you don't send, if you don't give money for someone to go, that seed is never placed in the hand of someone who needs it. Your challenge is this week, which are you going to do? Are you going to go? Are you going to allow someone to go?
Amen.
But the seed has to go.
Amen.
I'll get them later. In the Word of God, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says, "And Noah went forth and his sons, and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an ark unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every thing living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." And then verse 1 of chapter 9, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth." From the very beginning of time, God has spelled out His plan clearly. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 28, He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." The real question is this: as missionaries, are you going to teach them? Are you going to teach them everything that the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" He said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." And many, many times we allow a carnal, devilish crowd of Christians or the world to dictate to us as to whether we believe, as to whether we actually obey the Word of God. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ said, as he uttered a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Some was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Are your ears open tonight? Are your ears open? From the book of Genesis, God spelled it out: multiply and replenish the entire earth. We start with our Jerusalem, so to speak, right here in Zachary and in this town. And are we going to listen to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we hear what He says? This says that He cried. He cried. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, unto you, it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the others in parables, that seeing they may not see, hearing they might not understand." Now, and he explains, the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. As I mentioned to you, my wife and I, by the way, you all are wondering how I have such a young, pretty wife. I've just taken good care of her. At the same time, my wife, I've been married 64 years, and a wonderful lady that followed me all over the world, and she went through an awful period of suffering and died of cancer at the same time. She and her husband had planned to be missionaries, and they were preparing to live their lives out in Kenya, and he died. And so as the time passed, the grieving period was over. God brought us together, and since then, since we've been married, we've been in 19 different countries. We're not trying to go to every country in the world, but we see people that are in earnest about serving God. We, in one place, men rode bicycles 5 days through the jungle, through the heat of Africa, to come and sleep on a hard floor to hear the Word of God. God has opened the schools, the public schools of the country of Zambia, a wonderful country. And in one of the public schools, I never forget, we went there and Gideons had provided for the students. There's 800 students in the school. Their buildings are not just about the half the size of you to accommodate 800 students. They come in a group, then they leave, and they're taught and they're assigned their homework. But when we meet out under these large mango trees that actually are the span of the limbs is twice the size of this entire building right here. They sit on the ground, they listen to the Word of God. And you should have seen, as we had preached the Word of God, and they came, and they bowed very politely, and they received a New Testament. And my wife and others were watching. This one little boy, when he got the Bible, he looked at it, and as he looked at it, he opened it, and he went over and he sat down, and he began to search the Scriptures. And he had just trusted Christ as his Savior. Began to search the Scriptures. And as he searched the Scriptures, a friend came up to him and said, Hey, let's go play. He said, No, I'm reading the Word of God. Amen. That's what we're talking about. Here we have Bibles laying around, gathering dust. And we talk about all the versions and what have you. There are countries, there are still countries where people have not seen one page out of the Word of God. I work with people who actually smuggle the Scriptures in to Saudi Arabia. The wives back home, they write their husbands a love letter telling them how much they miss them. But on the opposite side is a page from the Word of God. And they are teaching underground work in the Muslim countries of the world. Folks, when we come to this, you remember the Lord Jesus Christ said, I must be about my Father's business. This is business. This is business. We need to quit merely putting posters on the wall and talking about, oh, they need the gospel. We need to be involved in making sure they get the gospel. I have people say, well, Brother Jack, when are you going to retire? I said, no problem, when I find it in the Bible. That's when I'll follow the instructions. But in a crowd like this, there are young people, fantastic young people, sharp-looking young people, that need to consider before anything else, they need to consider the call of God. God's call is, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And the volunteers say, here am I, Lord, send me. I joke with young people when I talk with them. They say, well, Brother Jack, I don't have a call. I said, give me your cell phone number. And you see, Why do you need a call when you've got a clear command?
Amen.
I was a military officer, and when I gave a command, I didn't have any young men that said, well, I don't have a call. I didn't have any young men that says, I got 5 points, then you need to do the job. 5 points of Calvinism, okay? I didn't have anything like that. My friends, if Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So we just boil it down tonight as we take care of God's business. We're talking about, we hear on the news about the election coming up, getting out to vote. You have already come out here and you're getting ready to vote, not on political leaders. You're going to vote whether this church follows this man of God that he has brought to you and has saturated his heart with world missions. You are going to vote whether you're going to obey and follow the word of God or not. Now that's the bottom line of the whole thing. And but as I consider this, you remember the Lord Jesus Christ said the seed is the word of God. There has to be the seed that is sown. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You remember the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't take the gospel to the wrong address. You see, it's whosoever will. But it also, it doesn't stop there. It's what we call the old Indian text. How shall they, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? How can they call on him whom they have not believed? How can they believe in him whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except to be sent?
Right.
These missionaries, I've already said, they're here. They're willing to represent this church. They're willing to represent you. Are you willing to let them represent you? If you look at them, they're not the most handsome people in the world. You all had to look at that former pastor for a long time, you know. Excuse me, brother. We old timers just insult everybody. Okay, but if you don't want them to represent you, then why don't you go? See, amen. So. You have a choice, right? You have a choice in that. Now, as we think about the Word of God, I think that everybody here ought to really consider, you ought to consider looking at Psalm 119, really saturating your mind with Psalm 119. See how many times you find the Scripture with the whole heart, with the whole heart. Oh, he said, thy word have I hid in thy heart, that I might not sin against thee. With the whole heart, you need to let the Word of God grip your heart. If the seed is the Word of God, the Bible says, blessed are they that sow beside all waters. The Word of God says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, the Word of God is good for the little children. I, as a missionary, I went to an island. It was funny when I first went to this island. I got out of the little boat and walked, and I heard the children. They didn't know that I could speak their language. I heard the little children shouting, a giant has come! A giant has come! And so, boy, the kids came running off the hillside down there, and they stood there and they looked at me. Wow! And then one of them didn't know I could understand it. He said, oh, he has got a big nose. And he said, look at his ears. They look like elephant ears. Well, so I told him, I'm different than you are. I've got a hand here. I can take this hand. I can pull it out here. Ooh. And that's so if you don't pay attention, I'll get you. Right? So, it was a lot of fun going to that island. But I remember One day we were sleeping on the floor on a straw mat. We'd gotten up early in the morning and heard a noise outside. And I slid that little bamboo door back, and here stood this pretty little South Korean girl. And so she just stood there looking at me. And she looked, and I tried to get her to move her eyes. She just looked. I said, she jumped. I said, why did you come? She said, Por wasn't it up? I came to look see. Well, what did you come to look see? I came to look see your wife. And so I said, there she is. She said, oh, she's beautiful. I said, that's right. You and I agree. We're friends now. So I began to tell her about the Lord Jesus. And that little old girl stood there and listened. She said, the other children talk to me, but I can't. I can't go down there and to the beach where they're preaching. We didn't have buildings. We just preached outside. And she said, I can't go there. I said, why can't you? She said, I'm a servant. I said, how old are you? She said, I'm 11. I said, how long have you been a servant? She said, since I was 6 years old. I said, really? You've been a servant? Do you know how to cook? She said, I sure do. And I said, well, let me tell you the full story that the other children. And I told her about Jesus and his love. He said, suffer little children to come to me. Three times. Boy, when God repeats himself three times, you better listen up. And he said, suffer little children, come to me. Forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. And as I told that story, that little girl asked me a question. She said, sir, if Jesus knew that my mama and daddy were bad people, would he love me? I said, were your mama and daddy bad people? She said, I didn't think so, but I was only 6 years old. And said they got in the boat to go over to the mainland. And that day, the gods were so angry, the ocean gods. And they were churning that ocean. And said a big wind came and turned that boat over and sent Mama and Daddy down in the bottom. And said, the reason the ocean churns like it is, there's a big fire down there, and that's reserved for the worst kind of people. What would you tell a little girl, a little 11-year-old girl? Does Jesus love me if Mama and Daddy's bad? And I assured her, Jesus loved her. She said, one more question. If Jesus knew that I had something wrong with my body, would he love me? I said, do you have something wrong with your body? She said, yes, sir. Said, one day I was carrying the heavy buckets of water up the hillside and said, something happened to this left side and my hand lost its grip and I dropped the bucket and it rolled down the hill and broke apart. And said, the master came with a bamboo cane and he beat me and he said, I'm careless. I need to quit being careless. And said, now as I work around the house, sometimes I lose my grip. And I'm not careless. Does Jesus love me? What would you tell a little girl like that? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. He said, you suffer those little children to come. You tell them to come on. You bring them. And so that little girl, I led her to Christ. Oh, she said, mister, something wonderful happened in here. Oh, peace come. Peace come. Then she said, oh, the master's calling. I got to go. And so she ran away. 6 months later, I got a letter from that island. And it said, you remember the little orphan, the servant? Oh, yes. I wonder if the master has abused her. I wonder what's wrong. And the letter continued on. During the night, God in heaven dispatched his angels, came down and picked her up out of that broken little old body, carried her out beyond the stars. That little girl is relieved of all of her sufferings. She's safe with Jesus. My friends, You see, the gospel is for the little child. The gospel is for the old people too. The gospel is, and all of those in between. The gospel is for the old people. I was in a country race event, and my hair was light. It's always been a light. Wasn't always gray, but and my eyes were blue. And those Korean people thought that I was an old man. I was only 28 at that time. They thought I was an old man. And they were having a race with men, with the old men. And so they came and they bowed. They said, "Oh, Harabachi, grandfather?" "Yes." I said, "Would you enter the race with the old men?" I said, "Well, how old are they?" They said, "Well, we think you're about 60. I said, "Well, I can race with them." So they got out there with that little old pistol. And ready, pow! And I took off and I outran all those old men. They said, "Look at that old man go." So then after the sports event was over, I was standing by the road. And an old man, silver beard, came and he took the gospel track. He backed up and he stood there and he said, "Sir, let me ask you a question." He said, "I live over by the ocean side, over that mountain." Said, "We've heard of Hananim. Hananim is the first of all gods. We've heard of the first of all gods. But no one has ever come. Is there something wrong with our village?" And I said, "Grandfather, I'll come." He said, "When?" I said, "Don't tell me. Don't tell me something." See, I watch people do a faith promise. They make a commitment. They don't keep it. Listen, it's better to not vow a vow than to vow it and not pay it. Amen. You see, when you give faith promise missions, you're laying up treasures for you. There's going to be a lot of people bankrupt in heaven because they haven't given faith promise. You got to lay up treasures. There's not a bank in town. You can just go and write a check if you haven't put money in there. Are there any like that in this area? Yes, if there are, then tell me. I'll go write a check tomorrow. You see, faith promise enables you to lay up treasures, invest, and be a co-worker with the missionaries. That's what it's all about. Well, so anyhow, I told the old man I'd come the next day. Well, I went the next day, and over there in Korea, they don't point at people because that's rude. But if you say, "Where is something?" they'll say, "Chogi. Chogi. Chogi." Well, if they just say "Chogi," not very far. If they say "Chogi," well, that's a little ways away. If they said "Chogi," you got a long walk ahead of you. Well, so I topped that mountain and I asked, "Where's the house of Grandfather Lee?" They told me. And so I walked, and thank the Lord, it was just "Chogi." Well, and walked down there, and I called out, "Keshimika, are you home? Are you home?" "Oh, yes." He came out. That silver beard blown by the ocean breezes. That old gentleman came and he bowed and he said, "Oh, missionary, last night," I'd given him a Gospel of John also. He said, "Last night I read this little pamphlet and then I read this little booklet." And he said, "At 4 o'clock this morning, I cried out and I said, 'Oh, God, this Jesus must be the right God. So from now on, Jesus will be my God, my Savior.'" And said the wonderful peace came over me. And I couldn't wait for my son to wake up. My son, 41 years old, said I woke him up. And I explained, but he couldn't understand. But he said, "Please explain to my son. I want him to have this wonderful peace." So I explained, and his son got saved. And they said, "Now, we want you to begin to teach in this community." Well, my friends, the seed is the Word of God. How shall they call on whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Now tonight, on this first night of the missions conference, I don't know what God is saying to you, what he said to you during this message. As you watched the film, as you heard the missionaries, I don't know what God has said to you. But on this first night, why don't we start it right? Why don't we start it just like the Bible says, men ought always to pray.
Amen.
Why don't we just have the pianist come and start playing? And husbands and wives and all of us start this conference right, saying, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do. Show me. And as we stand, let's pray, and then bring your wife and just kneel at the front seat or at the altar. And it does us good. It does us good. Just kneel before God. Our Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your precious, precious word. Oh, we've seen the power of it. Think about all of those teachers now in Cambodia that are opening their homes for Bible studies. Oh, God. Think about the power of the Word. The power of the Word with those children out in those jungle places. Oh, God. I pray for each of us here tonight. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. In Jesus' name. Amen.